Hi everybody and welcome to the Hikamo podcast hosted by myself William and co-host Hannah. The Hikamo podcast is all about helping you discover career options by sharing career insights from people working across a range of industries. Today we're going to be talking gaming, social media and digital publishing. Our guest works in the gaming industry and played a key role in launching some of the most played games out there. She's a massive Halo fan and an ambassador for women in games. Please join us in welcoming Geraldine Menaki.
Thank you.
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, and I'm really, really happy to be here. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. It's a Friday, so, ready for the weekend. Yeah. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good, my end. All good. Looking forward to the weekend as well. The weather looks like it's picked up slightly.
Yeah.
It's great. Always positive.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool.
In terms of, we always like to start with a game of two truths and a lie. So I'll hand over to you to tell us two truths and a lie, please.
Okay. Well, all right. The first one, I am from four different countries. Okay. I have a pet bunny called Gwendolyn.
Great name.
And last one, I've danced ballet for about a decade now.
Okay, great. Right, so I know the last one is a truth because I did my research.
Yes.
But actually, we could probably touch on that later on in the show around ballet and stuff. I think that'll be interesting. The pet bunny, the name, I think the name was such a unique name. I haven't heard that name before, so I'm thinking that's likely to be true.
I think that one's a lie.
Very confident there.
Where does that name come from? What inspired you to name the pet bunny?
My name's Geraldine, and people think that's kind of synonymous with an old name. So I'm like, what's another kind of name that begins with G that's synonymous with old that, me and my bunny could relate to? So I was like, Gwendolyn.
Okay, cool. And then four different countries.
I think that one's a truth.
Countries are they?
Indonesia, Germany, China, and the Netherlands.
Okay, yeah, that
one. Yeah,
I think you're right, Hannah. I think it's the bunny's the lie.
I'm glad that I got you kind of like hesitant though, so it means the questions are good. Yes, the lie is the bunny.
Okay, cool. We won.
I think the way you came up with that name threw me a bit.
I was like, I need to come up with a unique name.
You're a good liar though, because when I asked how did you come up with it, you found a very good answer. But...
Oh, is that a good thing? I'm a good liar.
Depends when you use that skill set.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Cool. So, okay. I think what we'll do now is I'll hand over to Hannah and we'll get into the questions.
Awesome. All right, cool. Thanks. Let's get straight into it. So could you tell us a bit about who you are and a bit about your career journey?
Hey, wow. So I have always been a kind of like creative person. I knew that I wanted to step within that industry and do something that allows me to be a bit more creative and have a say in like direction when it comes to like artwork and stuff like that and writing. Actually as a kid I wanted to explore things like being a fashion designer or like being a writer, really tapping into those like the art field essentially. But I fell in love with gaming quite early on. I never thought at that age that could turn into a career. But I've been gaming my whole life and only started to think about it when I went to an event and met a lot of people who work within the industry. And I thought, wow, this could actually be something I could do, like turn my passion into a career. And so, from that event that I attended, it inspired me to kind of like take that first step into the industry, volunteer, like meet more people and kind of combine my love for the arts and like writing and designing and like social media and then kind of combine that within gaming. And I guess that's where I am today.
amazing.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about that event? Could you say what event it was for people that are interested in gaming?
Yeah, of course. So it was actually the Halo World Championships back in 2018. I've always been a huge fan of Halo. I've always wanted to attend an event, but I lived in like Asia back then and there weren't a lot of the like sports events, especially Halo. So when I moved to London and that happened, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm definitely gonna, you know, attend because like my childhood self would like be like so keen for it and it'll be like such a dream come true. So I went there and met so many people and kind of learned about their careers and how they got into gaming, you know, whether they were like professional gamers or casters or people working behind the scenes or like on the social media accounts, like promoting all these events. And I felt really inspired. I think back then, like I was still gaming, but it wasn't really a priority for me. I never, like I mentioned, saw it as a career until I met these people. And I was like, this could actually, I could make something work from this. This could turn into a job. And did my research, attended more events, learned more things from like whole loads of different people that I met within these events. And then, yeah, from those connections, kind of find my foot in the door.
Amazing. So it was more so a hobby in the beginning. And yeah. For a lot of people, I think that's the case for them. And what would you say to someone that's considering a career in gaming, but they might be discouraged by like family or friends, or they might not think it's feasible to have like a consistent income from it?
Yeah, that's true. I think the thing is like the gaming industry, it's growing so rapidly. Like you can see right now, it's kind of surpassed like the film and even music industry. Like we're worth billions now and it's still so new. And I will say, especially when you're just starting out, like passion is so important. If you can, you know, prove to people that you're in it because you love it and, you know, you're willing to spend kind of your hours like trying new games or like staying up to date with the industry, like you're already there, like halfway there essentially. And there's so many opportunities within gaming that you can be involved in. I think, you know, when people think about gaming, I mean, there are some negative like associations around it. And I know that a lot of people kind of think, you know, game developers or professional gamers or whatever, like there's so much more to it, you know, because it's building so rapidly, we need people from all different skill sets, you know, finance, like HR, like marketing. It's just like any other industry, essentially. It's just newer and it's growing in a much rapid rate. So if you can keep up and if you're passionate and you can do it, don't like feel like demotivated because of what other people say. Like it's definitely an industry that is so great to be in right now when it's growing and it will continue to grow in the future.
Amazing. So you said that you grew up in Asia and then you came over here. So did you do your education in the UK or was it majority in Asia?
So it's a bit of both, actually. So I was born in Indonesia. I was there for about like a year doing like nursery and stuff. And then I moved to England straight after. I was about 2 when I first moved here. And I did about 5 years of primary education before I moved back to Asia, where I spent like most of my education. So I did like the rest of my secondary school, GCSEs and A-levels there. And then I moved back to the UK for university. And then I stayed on to work because I just... Even though like the industry in Asia is definitely booming in terms of like gaming, it is very specific to like PC. Whereas like companies like Activision and Riot, like there were so much more opportunities available here than in Asia, at least the ones that I'm searching for. So I stayed on and pursued gaming. Like, yeah.
Definitely, yeah. So university, so you went to university. Was that a good experience for you? Did you grow from it? And would you recommend university for people that want to go into gaming?
So I guess there are 2 points to this. So the first point about loving university, definitely, I think. I was there for about 3 years. I studied English with creative writing, and I felt like I've definitely grown a lot, not just in terms of like what I've learned educationally or academically, but also as an individual. I felt like back in Asia I was quite pampered and you know, very stuck in this like little like bubble, whereas in university it really forced me to become more independent. And yeah, so as an individual, I feel like I've grown so much and I've definitely learned so much. And, you know, I've met so many people who till this day, you know, I still consider to be my best friends. I think university is an amazing experience if you want to do it and you want the experience and you want to, like, it's a good stepping stone to learning how to be like an independent adult, I guess. I feel like without university, I'd still be a bit timid if I was like alone. I wouldn't know how to do like half the things I know how to do now because of university. It really forces you to go out of your comfort zone. And I think that's such a good learning environment, you know, whether that's in your personal life or in a work environment. So that's, yeah, highly recommend it if you can. But in terms of like going to university, if you want to pursue gaming, it really depends on what you want to do within gaming. I know now that a lot of universities are offering degrees that are specific to like esports and games. That, I'm not discouraging it. Like, I think go for it if that's what you're passionate about. I do feel like ultimately in the end, it depends, you know, what exactly you want to pursue. But in most cases, you don't need like a specific degree to work in gaming. Like I said, I think, you know, if you can just show your passion and you do like work outside of that, that contributes to what you want to like pursue, I think that's even more important. Yeah, I don't think you need to go to university to pursue a career in games. I think, you know, if you can get experience volunteering at events or anything like that, that would be a lot more like useful in my opinion. I'm not discouraging not going to university. I think it's great. And I think it will equip you with loads of like useful skills, but I don't see it as a necessity.
Definitely. Yeah, I can see that. So you touched on it and you said there's like different ways you can demonstrate your passion for gaming. Are there other courses, training that you can do that will like give you a qualification for you to be better equipped for a career in gaming?
I'm sure there are. Not any that I can kind of think about at the moment. I know, like, at least personally, I didn't go through any qualifications other than university to pursue gaming, but that was, you know, not really related in a way, like it wasn't like a direct stepping stone towards gaming. How I found myself like in the industry was definitely just through volunteering and attending these events. I think what's great is a lot of the events that, at least in the UK that they host, they have career specific booths for people who are looking to enter the gaming industry and don't know how to like where to start or how to do it. So there are like professionals within that space at these events that people can just approach and talk to directly and, you know, even hand in their CV so they have it to hand, which I find is really, really useful. I think, yeah, again, depending on what you want to pursue within gaming, there are no like specific qualifications that you need to take.
Amazing. Cool.
Yeah.
So you said some people just go to events and they can just hand their CV and that can be the stepping stone to get in. But yeah. When you came out of university, so you said you volunteered at events, but in terms of actually applying for roles, how did you go through that process and what tips would you give?
Sure. So straight out of university, I actually, I managed to get an internship at another company for about a year and it wasn't, so it was eBay and it wasn't obviously then they're not a gaming company or anything, but I got my first kind of experience of this professional world within marketing through working at eBay. But when my internship ended, I knew 100% that I didn't want to continue down that route and I wanted to work in another industry and that was gaming. And during my kind of internship, that's when I started to look at these events to attend and volunteer at. And I will say a lot of the people that I met there, like networking in this industry is so key because you're going to meet the same people at all the events that you go to. Everyone's kind of like really well connected. It you know, there's a huge chance that your friend in this gaming space knows this person who knows this person that can get you an interview somewhere or something. Or yeah, so very, very crucial. And my networks have helped me, you know, identify opportunities out there that were suited to my skill set. And, you know, I kind of just went down the route of applying via like LinkedIn or Hitmarker, which is a platform that I highly recommend that people visit and, you know, review if they are looking to work within games because it's specific to gaming. So, during my time at my internship, I was kind of just like nosing around and looking at what other opportunities were out there. And I just applied to any role that caught my eye and that my friends recommended to me as well. It's just about like, you know, actively searching for opportunities that are in a whole plethora of different platforms. So it's just, staying on top of it, staying disciplined and just applying for whatever catches your eye.
Amazing. Now, I think it's really good that you identified that you liked marketing, but you didn't want to work for a company like eBay, but you wanted to do it within the gaming industry. So it's amazing that you managed to combine the two and then enter into that industry.
Yeah.
And then in terms of working within gaming, so you've done a few different roles, like a few different jobs. Was it difficult to transition between those jobs, or did you enjoy doing it throughout it?
I loved it. I think because I'm still really young in my career, and like I know, like, you know, definitely gaming, and I know it's something that I wanted to do like creatively, but what that was specifically, I never really like 100% like locked that in. So I felt like, you know, especially when you're early in your career, there is nothing wrong with jumping around and seeing, you know, trying new things out. That's what early careers are there for, and that's how you learn, that's how you know what you like, what you don't like. And, you know, I think so I started off like doing marketing, and then I went on to like PR, and then I did project management, and now I'm on like social media. Although they are like different job titles, and they do like each role had very specific responsibilities, a lot of it did overlap. Like overall, it is kind of fitting under the umbrella of marketing / product management. I felt like every skill that I learned from each job and each title, like each company, really helped me in the next stage of my career. Every experience counts, you know, every learning that you go through counts, and it will help you develop as an individual. So I felt like, honestly, like in terms of like jumping different roles in different companies, it was to my advantage rather than, you know, let me down or it was like difficult. I felt like I had an edge because I had experience doing, you know, different things that, although was out of the core requirements of that job, would help elevate it. So I would highly encourage anyone who is unsure about what they want to do specifically to, you know, jump, like, don't be afraid to jump around, like, and, you know, learn new things, like, yeah, especially when you're young.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice in terms of, there's so many young people that haven't yet identified what they want to do, what their end goal is. So by trying new things is the only way you're going to work that out. Have you, through that process, have you yet identified kind of your end goal and what you're aiming for? Or are you still in that process of trying different things?
So I know my end goal is to, so I worked both kind of agency side and like in-house, like brand side. I know from that experience, like going forward in my future, I really want to stay in-house. So, you know, and particularly working for like a big game publisher or developer and like AAA, like AAA titles. In terms of my actual job role, I'm currently doing like social media and I love it. I think it's great fun. And I'd love to stay within this kind of field going forward. So like really tapping into like marketing and social media.
Yeah. Could you just give a bit of an, go into a bit more detail around your current role and what it involves?
Yeah, sure.
Typical day, typical week, etc.
Cool. So I'm a social media and digital publishing specialist at Activision, and my main focus is kind of owning all of our international social media channels for Call of Duty Mobile, and also supporting Call of Duty Mainline. So at the moment it's like Black Ops Cold War, Warzone, and then very soon all the Vanguard posts. And within each kind of like page, we have like whole different markets to support, and we're covering predominantly Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, my main focus across both those like titles is focusing on like taking the global posts and kind of localizing their like assets and social copy into our specific markets and then publishing it out there. But the other side of it is also coming up with local activation. So the more creative side, which I really, really enjoy. So it's like tapping into these like cultural moments for each market, or, you know, if I see an opportunity for like reactive content for things that are happening in the social media world or in gaming or in the, or life in general, and then kind of creating a Call of Duty spin to it that we feel like our community will really engage with and really, really love. Is another aspect to the job. You know, it definitely requires like heavy research into what's going on and a lot of creative thinking behind what asset we could use and what social copy we can put out there for all of our markets that will, you know, have great pickup and really elevate our channels. So yeah, I guess to summarize it, one part of my responsibilities is focusing heavily on like localization and transcreation of social media posts that our global team put out. And the other half of it is focusing on ideation and coming up with local activations that will cater towards our specific market channels and coming up really, really fun like strategies and creative social campaigns to that will essentially blow up, you know. That's our main goal, like get all the numbers in and everything, and also speak to our community. So yeah, that's my job in a nutshell.
Great, it sounds like a really interesting job. And then in terms of the key skills required for that role, and anyone considering kind of a social media digital publishing role in the gaming industry and the wider industries or other industries, what would you say? Maybe three key skills?
Three key, okay. I would say, like, do your research. I know that sounds, like, pretty straightforward, but then, you know, like, social media platforms, they're constantly changing. They're constantly adapting, like, the algorithms, and there's always new trends that are happening every day. You need to stay on top of it. Like, yeah, so I would say, like, actively, like download all the social media platforms that you can, like have a look through how it works and like what kind of content people are posting out there. Like on a daily basis, just keep up with it essentially. So just staying on top of it, staying disciplined with, you know, finding out like key function and like specifics for each platform, definitely. I will say, don't be afraid to kind of think outside the box when it comes to these things. Like usually the campaigns that blow up are the ones that are unique and things that people haven't really like explored. Don't be afraid to kind of like speak out and voice what you think will work. Because usually it's the most like out there campaigns that have the most pickup and the community is talking about, you know, which is amazing for a social media manager. And the last point, I think this is more in regards to like working within gaming. It's a very, very dynamic industry. Things are constantly changing at the last minute. And, you know, similar to staying on top of like social media trends, you got to stay on top of like everything that's, you know, going on in the gaming world as well. And you need to know how to like prioritize your workload. Yeah, but I think that's when like project management skills come into play here. It's just, you know, not being worried by all these constant changes that are happening. You have to constantly like adapt to like your social copy or assets depending on what's going on in the world. So yeah, always making sure that you have like a backup plan and you're knowing how to like prioritize is a very, very key skill to survive in the gaming world.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You have a very current and sort of relevant role, so it must be very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So like you said, you've gone to different companies to work for them and you've jumped different job roles. What would you say is makes a good company to work for?
I think for me it's definitely like the company culture and the people that you work with. A lot of the times it's like, I stay in a company in the long run because I love my team, you know, like, especially like the leadership teams. If you have someone who is there to support you and is, you know, who wants to see you succeed and helps you kind of like develop as an individual and helps develop like your work as well. I think that's so important because that's where you learn a lot of the things as well, like key skills and know like what you're doing well, what you're not doing well, how you can improve. Like I'm very lucky, like all of the places I've worked with, I've had an amazing team and I've learned so much from them. I've had amazing managers who really pushed me to become better. And I think that's really valuable. So yeah, I mean, I could love a job and be good at it, but if I don't have a team that supports me or a manager that cares about my success, then I wouldn't be there in the long run. But if I'm like at a job where, you know, it is challenging, I feel like there is a lot of room for improvement. If I do have the support there and I have a manager that, you know, ensures that, you know, I'm fine and checks up on me and, you know, gives me good feedback as to like improvements, but also like reassures me that I'm doing, you know, good job at specific things, like that's where I'm more likely to kind of stay and want to, you know, develop constantly and yeah, just keep trying my best.
Yeah, so must have that because you need that mentorship even when you're within your role. Amazing.
Of course. Yeah.
And just talking about the whole work culture as well and the whole work environment, obviously prior to COVID when you was in the office, what is that like? Because I feel like people have the perception that gaming is quite relaxed and it's like it's very different to sort of the more corporate business dress sort of world.
Yeah, all fun and games.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, the parties are great, I will say that. And, you know, like, there isn't this expectation we to come in wearing suits and everything, which is, you know, really, really great. But it is the opposite from relaxing. I will tell you that. Like I said, like, it's so dynamic and things happen at the last minute. Like, you're just constantly, like, every day is a new day. And every day there's an opportunity for there to be screw-ups at the last hour or last minute. So it is quite stressful, but it does help you build like a, you know, a thick skin. Within gaming industries, like there are loads of young people because it is like a relatively young environment. So we're always like constantly like checking in with each other just to make sure that everyone's okay. We're like always putting out jokes and stuff. So like there's a great kind of company culture there and environment. Like, you know, when COVID hit and everything, like we're still like very much close knit and staying in touch. What I do miss about like life when it was kind of normal was all the gaming events that I could go to. That was like one thing that I really loved about gaming was the industry. There were so many events that, you know, we'd always like support with and go to and like meet people and like promote our games in. COVID changed that, you know, there are no events you can attend now, it's all virtual, no launch parties or whatever. So it does feel a bit isolated at times, but we try our best, you know, to keep like, you know, make it fun and stay in touch over Zoom and like all these company meetings and everything. But yeah, at first it was kind of cool because I was like, yay, I get to like sleep in and no travel costs or whatever. But now it does, I'm keen to go back into the office and I'm keen to like attend more gaming events. As usual.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So will you be going back into the office then? Has your company let you know?
Yeah. So they said we're going to start like a pilot plan for, I think, next week. So hoping, is it next week or the week after? The week after.
Yeah.
I'll be starting to go into the office like every Amazing. Wednesdays. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd think as well in terms of like big events, obviously doesn't have the same flair as it being in person, but because gaming does happen digitally and it does happen online, you'd think they'd have a creative way to sort of still make events happen even though it's virtual.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like at least in like Call of Duty, they do really fun in-game events that bring the community together. Like I know we've definitely like pumped up a lot more tournaments and we have a lot of like in-game marketing stunts to promote like our new game and stuff, which has worked really, really well. And I know we're looking into doing more like virtual events that, you know, help to elevate this, not elevate, like help calm the stress for our, like our employees and everything. So they're doing a really great job on like introducing these like talks and events via Zoom and stuff. But yeah, it's just,
it's not the same. Yeah,
it's not the same. It'll never be the same. Yeah,
I can understand. Yeah. So in terms of working within the gaming industry, what is it like being a woman working in the industry? And obviously it's very dominated by men. So what is that like for you?
To be honest, like, at least like from my experience, working within like gaming and being a woman in gaming, I've never felt like I was at a disadvantage, to be honest. Like, I've had such a great team who are so open-minded, and they've, like, all the leadership teams that I've been involved with, they always highlighted and emphasized and really, really pushed for like diversity in their work team, in their like they're in their team. My manager actually at the moment, like, he's always talking about culture ad rather than culture fit, you know. I think that's really, really important, and I think that's a really cool outlook in like the way we see like teams being formed, because I never really saw it that way until he pointed it out. I thought he raised a really good point. It's about like, what can you add to a team? What's like unique about you that you could bring to the table, as opposed to, you know, culture fit kind of insinuates that you're kind of just like everyone else in the team, which is important. Like, you need to know how to like work together, but if you can bring something new, that's when like ideas spark and when, you know, you see results, I guess. And I've always felt like, you know, really welcomed. My first manager when I worked within gaming was a woman as well, so she really inspired me. I mean, I know I can't say, I can't speak for every woman in the gaming industry. I know people who haven't been as fortunate, and they have, like, you know, experience like discrimination within work, and I think that's still an issue we need to tackle. I think gaming as a whole, we have a long way to go. I've been lucky enough to not really experience that, although that being said, the esports world is a bit different. I've never worked within esports specifically, but I've attended events, and I know people within the industry. And I feel like the esports world is a bit more toxic. I think especially if you're entering as like a female gamer, or you're there as a spectator, which I constantly am, people do kind of underestimate your abilities to play the game or understand it, which is annoying. But I think there's an opportunity there for us to really like prove them wrong, you know? But yeah. Personally, never really experienced any sort of discrimination. I think, you know, I've had such a welcoming, open-minded team. But that being said, yeah, there's still a long way to go in general. Definitely. For, you know, welcoming women in the industry.
But I still think that's good, you know, for the women that are listening, that are interested in gaming, that you yourself, you haven't experienced any sort of negative backlash from working in the industry. So yeah. Hopefully that's some motivation for them to still consider the career, definitely.
Yeah. And could I just jump in on that? So I know that you're an ambassador for women in games. Could you tell us a bit about what they do and how people can get involved?
Yeah, of course. So so Women in Games, essentially, like, our core mission is to essentially like be that voice for predominantly women, but, you know, even men, like everyone in general who wants to work in the gaming industry and they don't know how to like begin, where to start, or if they want to learn more about what it's like to work within gaming, they can reach out to us, and we're there to like share our experiences and give our advice and kind of be their friend to help them along their journey. I know a couple of people have like reached out to me personally, and they wanted to learn more about my experiences or how they can get into gaming. I've met a lot of amazing people through that, and like even met like a really, really close friend of mine when she reached out to me and asking for advice. So yeah, our core mission is just to help people get their foot in the door, and like encourage them, motivate them if they're feel demotivated to like, or, you know, they're struggling to start because it is intimidating and it is quite a booming industry. So we're just like that friendly face to help them transition into that kind of world. And we also do loads of events open to the public, you know, talking about like our experiences and like where to start. So yeah, that's essentially what it's like to be an ambassador for Women in Games and yeah, the work we do.
Amazing. That's a fantastic platform that you're a part of.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, so hopefully
anyone
people
can apply.
Yeah. And oh, yeah. Anyone can apply. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So go for it.
And anyone can reach out to you as well for
and anyone can
help.
Reach out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's great. So in terms of gaming in general, what would you say your favorite aspect is about working within the industry?
I think it's like because I'm a huge gamer myself, like just being involved with that whole process and working in a game that you grew up playing is the best part. Like knowing you're a part of something big. Like I remember as a kid, like if you were to tell me 10 years ago about one day I'll be working for like Call of Duty Activision, I'd be like, you know, shut up, that's not gonna happen. This is like crazy to think about. And then here I am, like I just feel like it's still kind of
surreal.
Like a dream come true.
Yeah,
yeah,
surreal,
yeah.
Experience.
It's like I can't believe I'm here. I'm working on the new like Call of Duty title and you know, like not heading, but like supporting all the social media pages that like thousands and millions of people see. Like I think it's just incredible, like the scope that and the impact you're making in these communities. I think just knowing that, I mean, we recently went out with a local content person, the Call of Duty UK page that kind of blew up. And just seeing all the responses there and people saying stuff like, oh my God, this made my day, or you made me laugh, or this is amazing. Like just seeing that like positivity from the community, it just makes so like my job world, you know, worthwhile. I know like personally gaming has made such a huge and positive impact in my life. And to do the same thing for someone else, I think that's the best part about my job.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because gaming can, yeah, it can be an escape. It can be a hobby for people. So it's crazy that you have sort of a puzzle piece to play in all of that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
on the flip side, what would you say is the most challenging aspect about working in gaming?
That can be very, very long hours. And because it's so, so dynamic, like you just can't predict what will happen in a day. So sometimes it does get like planning a bit difficult. And there is that added stress of like, you know, getting things out the door in a timely manner and like supporting all that you can, because, you know, there are often chances where you can't support everything even though you want to, and you know that it's going to like pay off, but it's just not feasible and it's frustrating. And yeah, I guess it's just like staying, you know, staying afloat in terms of all these like constant changes within the industry. And I think especially for like a very big company, you're out there in the news most of the time. Like every like negativity that happens, like it's elevated, and it can be quite scary. But yeah, it's just keeping up to date and staying on top of everything.
Yeah. So what's your typical work schedule like then? Because you said if you have to meet deadlines and you have to work quite excessive hours.
Yeah, I mean, in my specific like job role, especially when it comes to like the localization process, we need to do specific things at specific times for us to like deliver posts in a timely manner. So I guess a typical work life would be like logging in at like 9:30, kind of seeing what has been posted and what the publishing calendar looks like for like Call of Duty. And then kind of sending out translations to our like third party, and then organizing posts for the day. So like inputting all the translations that we do have, going into design and localizing the assets so we can put that into our platform and then send it out for approvals, make sure that everything's correct. And then publishing it like at specific times when our global team goes live with it. So yeah, I mean, our kind of crunch times each day would be in the morning when we have to like compile everything that we need to send out to specific people. And then in the evening when we have to publish everything at a specific time. in between is just kind of like a rush to prepare for those publishing beats. But yeah, that's a typical work life, I guess, schedule.
Yeah, and I think probably what makes that a challenging schedule is where you're working in a global organization. There's different time zones between teams.
Yes.
So yeah, it's coordinating those, especially if you're all aiming to publish the same content pretty much the same time. Could you tell us a bit about how that tends to work?
Yeah. I mean, because we're in charge of like in the international markets and our global team is just, you know, one US market. We do like weekly syncs with the team just to like align with when they're going to be posting. And then we feed back to our local territory marketing leads who are in charge of like their specific markets for our channels as to like, you know, specific go live dates. So we can ensure that like if there is time specified and dates in the social copy, that we'll make sure that that's aligned with what global, you know, pushing live as well. And the great thing is that we do have like a publishing tool, which we can schedule all of the posts, including like Global's posts, to go live at a specific time. So it's just literally like a click of a button and they're good to go at one go. That's assuming though that all the approvals come through at the same time. And obviously like when it comes to like social copy and them including time zones and dates, like making sure that that's accurate as well. So the information that we do feed into the community is true. So yeah, I mean, we have loads of people who are on top of like the specific markets and they will flag if there is an issue with posting or whatever. So yeah, it's a strategy and it's a process that works for us and that has been working for a while now. So that's kind of how we work. It's just lots of coordination with different teams.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Amazing. That's all the questions I have from my side as well. Thank you very much. So I'll hand back over to William.
Amazing. Okay,
great. So I've got one final question before we get into the three sentences that you'll need to complete.
Yeah.
The final question is, and you may have touched on it earlier where you briefly mentioned Halo, but what's your favorite game?
Halo.
Okay.
Everyone knows that, but if you want to get into specifics, I will say Halo 3.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, good. You'll probably have some gamers agreeing with you and some saying, I'm not sure.
I feel like, yeah, Atomic would be like, no. What are you doing?
Cool. All right, then. So we're going to the three sentences. So the first one is, success to me means.
Okay, success to me means being happy where you are. I know that sounds so cliche, but if you're, you know, in a job that you enjoy, doing something that you're passionate about, working with people that you love working with, but you also have like a great balance with your like personal life, then, and you're happy with that balance, I think that's success. That's how I view it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think Hannah will agree. I think I've said this a couple of times now. I think that's a consistent response that guests are providing. So there's definitely a lot of truth to that. So thank you. And then the next one is, I wish I had known.
I wish I had known like to put too much pressure on myself, essentially. So I wish I knew that, you know, it was okay to not know exactly like what direction I was heading towards or what career I wanted or what industry I wanted to be. And I, you know, I remember back in sixth form, I was so lost. Like gaming wasn't even a thing. I remember taking so many quizzes and that wasn't like an option. Anything can happen and you have to be open-minded. I think, you know, don't be afraid to jump into these opportunities and feel like you need to get everything, you know, together at a specific age. Like take your time, explore, there's no rush. And I wish I knew that.
Great answer. And then the next one, or the final one, is the best advice I could give.
Okay. The best advice I could give would be to never underestimate yourself. Like, I know it can be pretty daunting seeing, like, especially nowadays, you know, even entry-level jobs, and there's like, you know, you need to know this, da 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 da, you need to have this specific amount of years of experience, like, go for it. Like, don't ever feel like you're not good enough. I think you should always, always try apply for something that catches your eye and you feel like you can do it. Like, I think there's also this misconception that you need to know how to do 100% of the things that a job entails. That shouldn't be your mindset, because if you know 100% how to do everything, you're not going to grow. You know, if you see something there that you don't know what to do, that's when you apply, because, you know, as long as you know, I would say 70 to 80% of a job role, apply, because that other 30% or 20%, that's the opportunity for you to grow. And I think that's when a job is worthwhile.
Fantastic. Yeah, growth. Growth is so important, and making sure you have that aspect of growth in every job role that you apply for or participate in. So thank you so much. That's great advice. We're going to wrap up now. Would you like to share where people can find you on social media, or if you're happy for people to reach out?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, most of my social media pages are private, but okay. I will say my LinkedIn is open, and feel free to connect with me there and like message me there. I'm open to, like meeting new people and helping them out.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'll hand over to Hannah now to see us out.
Thank you very much. That was very, very insightful. Just to say thank you for listening and watching today's episode. Be sure to like, comment and subscribe to the Hikomo channel, and let us know any other career content you would like to see. Until next time, bye-bye.